Tonight out there on the bay, you can expect west winds 5 to 15 knots with wind waves 1 to 3 feet and a northwest swell 3 to 7 feet at 9 seconds, along with patchy fog after midnight. Let's see. Tomorrow out there on the bay, you can expect west winds 5 to 10 knots becoming southwest in the afternoon with wind waves 2 feet or less and a northwest swell 2 to 6 feet at 9 seconds, along with patchy fog in the morning. And tomorrow night, southwest winds 5 to 10 knots with wind waves 2 feet or less and a northwest swell 2 to 6 feet. And again, patchy fog can be expected. The temperature here at the station is 59 degrees. It's kind of overcast, but still a beautiful day. Any day above ground is a beautiful day. We appreciate you joining us here at AM 1080 KSCO. It's just about time for Saturday special with your host, MZ. Right here on AM 1080 KSCO, AM 1340 KOMY.
A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Good. Hey, you realize this is the first time you and I have worked together on the Saturday special? I'm so excited.
I do realize that, and I'm pretty nervous about it.
Oh, well, there's nothing to be nervous about. Just don't make any mistakes. Okay? You got to turn up the volume now here. So it's
okay, you got it.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Now, there's that thing called, you know, the Crossfire or the Specials fan, one of them. But there's no promo today, right? Yeah, so I don't hear anything. What happened?
It's going to take me just a second here to get the...
Oh, okay. Well, it's not here. So while it takes you, while you're taking a second or two, I'll talk with our friend Billy. Hi, Billy.
Hello.
What are you doing here? What are you doing here on Saturday?
Making sure everything works.
Yeah.
There was some earlier about whether, remember now, I'm the, as Hartman says, I'm the director of technical... difficulties.
The director of technical difficulties. Right. Okay. And apparently we had some, or we thought we did.
We thought we did, but we didn't.
And you came all the way. You drove 100 miles just to...
No. I only...
Well, it'll be 100 miles. Well, counting...
Well, now I'm depressed.
All right.
Now that I realize it is, in fact, you know...
All right. Look, there's a very good reason to be depressed. Because of what's going on in the world today.
Well, that is
just,
true.
You know, yes. And what happened this week, which is going to make air travel that much more of a headache. I have a question for you, and it's going to be a question for everybody. It's going to be the question of the Saturday special today. And I wouldn't normally do this, but you're a seasoned radio broadcast veteran.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't mind being put on the spot necessarily.
No.
If you were in charge, what would you do regarding the Middle East situation now? If you were in charge, whatever that means, whether that's President Bush or God.
If I were in charge, and God knows it's a good thing I'm not, and I inherited in other words, let's say I was elected president and you know,
I'm
now in charge.
You're in charge,
and I have to deal with this current situation.
Yep.
I might get a hold of the Israeli leadership and the Lebanese leadership, and get them in a room,
and
tell them where the monkey put the peanut. That soon, soon. Things are going to get worse if we don't stop it now. That the only way this is going to end is badly. If we don't, both
okay,
sides
so you, so you
back
think,
off.
So you think a ceasefire? You think a ceasefire is a good thing?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
Here's why
I say that, because you have not only the situation between Israel and Lebanon and Hezbollah right now,
yeah,
but now the added fun of Pakistan, who apparently provided the hijack mechanism, right, that was almost
the plan, yeah,
the plan that almost made it to fruition,
right,
but didn't, because the British have an awesome intelligence service, which our intelligence service didn't pick it up.
Yeah,
the Brits did.
Right.
Okay. So we'd have had more planes blowing up. We'd had more people dead. We'd had more people freaked out. So if I were in charge, I would get all the principal country heads together in a room and say, listen, some of you have nuclear capability, and this can only end badly if we don't stop it now. It truly will be World War III if they don't stop it now. It's so close to World War III now.
Said that we've been in World War III.
If it's not World War III yet, it's close.
Yeah. Okay. For last Saturday special, we had people on. I just basically opened the show, and then turned it over to other people who were here, who are much more versed in the Middle East situation than I am. But before I did that, I said, well, it looks like there's a ceasefire at hand here, and I guess that's a good thing. And immediately when I turned it over to somebody else, immediately when I uttered those words, when I said, I guess it's a good thing, I said, wait a minute. It probably isn't necessarily a good thing. And then, of course, the others chimed in and said, oh, we don't necessarily agree with MZ that it's a good thing.
Let me put it to you this way. My grandfather said something to me when I was a little kid, and it's something I've always remembered, and I don't know if he was right or not, but he was my grandfather, so I believe he was right. I still believe he was right.
He was definitely right.
If it gets to the point where there's a war, then we have failed. If it's to the point where it's a war, then we failed. It's as simple as that.
Okay,
we haven't done our job properly.
Assuming that's true, what do we do now? That's why you're in charge.
Well, like I said, the first thing I would do is get him in the room and say, look, it can only end badly.
Suppose they said, okay, we agree with you, but we're not going to stop.
If Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin could get in a room together and at least have a discussion, then there was a chance.
Okay. All right. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Bill.
I got to go. We don't have enough
second door down the hall to the right.
There are not enough technical difficulties here to keep me here on a Saturday. Goodbye.
Okay, Bill, thanks. Now, was that enough time, Dave, for you to find the other elements? Okay, well, Bill is still here. He can show you where they are, because we can't go on with the Saturday special unless we could either have Crossfire or special fanfare music. If there's no promo, there's no promo, but there's always special fanfare, and there's music, and we even have a call. Oh, my God, we have a caller, and it's a special caller. Who could the caller be? Should we make that a contest question? All right, it's a Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO and AM 1340 KOMY. For the past month or so, we have been simulcasting the Saturday special on our sister station, AM 1340 KOMY, and we're still doing that, hopefully. So we want to, thanks. So we want to introduce the KOMY audience to the Saturday special, which is a locally produced two-hour talk radio program that takes place. Yeah, I just tried to kill a fly that landed on my microphone. That takes place between 10 a.m. and noon on Saturdays. And it's a great program where we've been doing it for a long, long time. And you never know what's going to happen on the Saturday specials. Sometimes it's it's sort of a crossfire program between competent and articulate spokespersons on all sides of a controversial subject. Other times it's an interview with a particularly fascinating, against all odds, successful person. It's always a pretty interesting program. We try, and every once in a while, it's a wash our dirty laundry at the radio station program, where we invite people to call in and tell us how the radio station can be made much better than it already is. Today, we are going to focus on one question. If you were in charge, what would you do? And our phone numbers for your participation are 479. Wait a minute. There's only one phone number now. It's 479-1080. Yeah, we used to have 477-1340. We still have that, but we only use that phone number for KOMY only talk shows that are locally produced, and we're going to have more and more of those. So give us a call. We want to hear from you. And if you have an answer to the question, if you were in charge, what would you do about the Mideast situation? Things are getting pretty bad, folks. So let's go to our first call. Our good special friend, Andy Anderson.
Good morning.
From Las Vegas, California. Yeah. How are you, Andy?
Well, I'm just right. I'm just right. By the way, I have a real hum in my headset. I hope it's not coming through the station. Can you hear it?
No, I can't hear
okay,
a hum.
Good.
It sounds fine.
It's just something local here, then.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Are we ready, Dave? Do we find the stuff? Still can't find it? Yeah, because... All right, Andy, we'll just go ahead and just pretend that the music had played. Yeah, you got it, Dave? Okay, stand by, stand
sure.
by. Because we got to get on the right foot here. Here. Okay, now, those of you who normally listen to the Saturday special, you know that I normally talk over that music. But in light of the situation today, where the people were deprived of that music for approximately 11 minutes, I thought it would only be fair for me not to talk over the Crossfire music this time. So I didn't. And now we'll get back to talking with Andy, and we'll start the show. Andy, if you were in charge, what would you do? It's a mess.
Well, first I'd leave Israel alone. Let him finish the job.
Okay, leave them alone. So
let him finish the job.
And isn't that pretty much what our country's been doing all along? I mean, it's sort of...
Well, no. We've been real involved in negotiations to get a ceasefire in there. And the drawback from this is that Israel is constantly compromised. And it's a very simple thing. You compromise evil, and you will lose. But we're not terrorists. We're not people you can reason with.
Well,
they can put on a smiling face and slap you on the back and say all kinds of nice things, and that's already been proven out in the Gaza Strip and also in Lebanon. When the Gaza Strip was put back in the hands of the Palestinians, what do? You know, they just started sending missiles back into Israel. So, you know, the land...
Well, hasn't the pressure for a ceasefire come from other than the United States?
Well,
maybe I'm out of it here, but it just seems to me that our country has taken a relatively passive role for the last month or so. Am I right?
Yeah, I agree. When you listen, they pretty much have said, but behind the scenes, you know, pressure is being applied from throughout Europe and the Middle East, though. So. I just see you're not dealing with a nation state. We're dealing with terrorists, and they've infiltrated the entire world.
Yeah.
And we're not dealing with reasonable people.
Okay, so what do you do?
Well, you finish them off.
Okay, how?
Well, I thought Israel's doing an awfully good job of it. That's what I'm saying. Leave them alone.
Uh-huh.
And so
just like, let Israel do its thing and don't interfere, and you think everything will be okay. Okay, well,
I'm not sure it'll be okay, but uh-huh. It will certainly send out a message. You know, they've been sitting back. Remember during the first Iraqi war, Saddam was sending all these missiles into Israel, and, of course, they were being shot down by the Patriot missile. And, of course, we told the Israelis, just sit still. Don't do anything. And this has happened on numerous occasions, and I think they've demonstrated remarkable restraint. I mean, who could comprehend if you were sitting in Santa Cruz and somebody started sending missiles into the Monterey Bay area and someone said, well, just restrain yourself. Just take it easy.
Someone was killing your family.
I marvel that they have the ability to have that ability to begin with. They're tough people. They can't afford not to be tough.
Yeah. They would have been exterminated years ago if
well,
they weren't.
So. I mean, what are there, 6 or 8 million Israelis sitting in Israel there, and they're surrounded by, what, 400 plus million Muslims that hate them? I mean, this is interesting odds. You got 6 or 8 million against 400 million.
Yeah.
And you got to be tough.
Yeah.
And they're politically, again, they would restrain and hold back and restrain, and their capacity to do this mentally alone. They're remarkable. It's absolutely remarkable. But I recall Netanyahu making a comment about that very issue of restraint and that they were overreacting in Lebanon. And his words, said, you haven't seen a fraction of what we're capable of doing. And so they've been very restrained. So in this particular issue, I wish they would just eliminate these people. They've already murdered Americans, the barracks in Lebanon where we were peacekeepers, and these are not nice people, and we're dealing with evil, and I think an awful lot of people don't really comprehend evil. Like I said,
we shouldn't stand in their way. Should we help?
Well, we already are in many ways. I'm through intelligence, communications, ordnance. I mean, we have some interesting links that go on behind the scenes. So we're helping, but we're helping, I think, in a very proper sort of way.
Right. Okay, you're listening to the Saturday Special on AM 1080 KSCO and AM 1340 KOMY. My name is MZ, and the topic du jour, or the question du jour, is if you were in charge, what would you do regarding the Mideast situation? How would you solve it? The man you have here talking to me is Andy Anderson, a good friend, and used to do a regular talk show here on KSCO years ago called Facing Reality. An amazing mind, just a really nice person, too. And I'm really happy that he's called in. We also have a caller, Harold in Aptos. Oh, my goodness, and I can't wait to hear what Harold has to say. And we have spaces for you, 479-1080. We want to fill up the lines today because, well, unless everybody's just baffled, I'm not quite sure what to do myself if I was in charge, but I think I'd be pretty tough. I think I'd do some pretty radical things, like nuclear weapons and things like that. I think I might be deploying nuclear weapons. I don't want to sound like an idiot, but and keep it so simple, but there's a time for nuclear weapons, and I think this might be it. Don't you think, Andy?
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. And obviously, we need to do whatever we need to do, and that has a lot to do with why
we need to nuke or be nuked. I think that's pretty clear. I think that's becoming pretty clear.
Well, again, we're not dealing with reasonable people. If we're dealing with a nation state that had something to lose, but these people don't mind murdering their sons and daughters and letting them murder other people and killing themselves at the same time. We're not dealing with a nation state. And I think part of why we are in Iraq in terms of long-term thinking is to be there strategically, whether people like this or not. But the truth is, the economy of this world runs on oil, and it's all sitting there in the Middle East. And you just can't have that kind of instability with the Saddam Husseins and the Iranians. And we don't want to bring pipelines down from Russia into the Persian Gulf. There has to be stability there. And my guess is we'll never pull out of it. Iraq entirely. I mean, we're already still in Kuwait, but it puts some reason in that area, and hopefully we can prevent. I think all of us are thinking along those terms that if these people don't stop it, and we may have to do something really dramatic, and that's going to affect the economy.
Let's be more specific about what something really dramatic is.
Well, I think the answer, you just said it earlier.
Drop nuclear weapons where?
Strategic.
Where? Lots of places all at once? Like they had planned to do, like they had planned to blow up lots of U.S.-bound jetliners all at once?
I don't know. I think Iran, we could probably hopefully do something from within before any of this. There's the real troublemaker there.
Yeah.
And Syria already knows, they couldn't swat a fly.
Right.
And they Israel has already demonstrated in Iraq when they were building a nuclear power plant, and they took in some of their jet fighters and took that thing out in a matter of minutes. And you push these people, the Israelis, like a balloon. You fill it up, and then you overfill it. It bursts, and they're going to protect themselves.
Right. Okay. Let's go to stay on the line, Andy. We'll keep you on here.
Okay.
Let's bring on Harold and Aptos. Harold, you're on the air. Hello, Harold and Aptos. There's two Harolds in Aptos. The one on line two is the one that's supposed to be on the air, and I'm not hearing anything. So why do I see Harold in two places? Let's bring in the Harold on line four.
Hello, MZ.
Harold, why were you on line two and line four? There's only one of you, and I know that there's only one of you. How could there...
I'm schizophrenic.
Okay. All right, you're on. Haven't heard from you in a while. But,
I'm the only one left in Santa Cruz County that doesn't hate you, MZ. You do have a friend out here.
Okay, good.
Okay. Right. If you can, I didn't listen to the Saturday special last week, so sometime if you can give a summary of what the great mind said last week, I'll put in my two cents.
Okay, well, I've asked a question now, and you're calling, so you obviously have an answer to that question.
I do.
What you would do if you were in charge.
I know you listened to Dr. Lena and the Mad Ruski, so now you're going to listen to an American historian.
Okay.
It's time for an empire here and a dictator, because the people that control the Republican and Democratic Party here, they don't care about the American people. They're globalist economic powers. So we can't do this with a president. You know, Bush doesn't have the standing right now, so... But I would
he is a globalist, right? I mean,
some say so, but he's being controlled too. So you're not going to solve this problem except for the old Roman way. When the Romans were the superpower of the world, we're the superpower of the world right now. First, I would offer a bribe, get Mr. Putin of Russia out of there, because he's the one that could cause us trouble, because he has the nuclear power to stop us. Then I would declare a Pax Americana. I would seize Mecca and Medina. I would seize Jerusalem, throw out all the Muslims. I would take back Constantinople from the Muslims and show the Turks and the Islamic Persians our real power. And it would take a dictator or an emperor to do that.
Okay, a dictator and an emperor would necessarily mean that we're not a free society anymore. Well, I guess we're not a free society now, I guess. Huh?
The Romans were the only one to solve this, and we have to follow the Roman example and use our power.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you and your guests think about that?
Andy, did you hear what Harold had to say?
Yeah, I sure did.
What do you think?
Well,
he's given some specific. He's an historian, so you know he's pretty glib, with specifics.
Well, in order to enact something like that, the colossal manpower required and the organization and all the logistics involved in that, I'm more likely of what I think will happen. And this is the wrong use of the word evolve, but I think as the affairs of the world continue to move in the direction they're moving, interesting little things will start happening that are very contrary to what we're accustomed to seeing, regional outbreaks and martial law I can't think of the name. What were the groups that used to run around and take law into their vigilantes? I think that type of thing will begin to demonstrate itself in various places throughout the world.
Okay. Well, that's already happening with the Minutemen at the border, right, Harold?
Oh, I wish so, but we're not watching our border again. So I want to tell Andy something. What I'm telling you, Andy, there's going to have to be a final showdown with Islam like there was against the communists and the fascists. A final showdown. One of the two sides is going to work. And if you knew history, you know Muhammad rose at 650 A.D., and he conquered a good part of the world. And we've been fighting this battle ever since, and that's why... They took the Jerusalem back from the Christians. They took Constantinople with the Turks back from the Western world. They overran Europe. So I don't know if Andy has a historical background, but it's going to take a Pax Americana. Rome did this once for 400 years by using their actual might. And with our high-tech weapons, nuclear power, whatever army draft, whatever it takes, the final showdown with Islam has to come first. Or Jerusalem will be overrun, and so will Israel, too, as far as that goes.
Well, I certainly concur. We're dealing with a religious mindset of something that we don't have a very good understanding. And I think all of us sort of recognize this is moving in a direction. And, you know, like if you're flying over the ocean, there's a point called the point of no return.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid we've passed the point of no return, and there's...
Well, what does that mean? That means we have to do something drastic. Is that what that means?
It means we can't turn back and use traditional means of dealing with issues.
Right.
In other words, especially with this recent,
right,
the airliners flying over out of Britain.
And when I was driving in today, I heard on the news just, you know, 2 minutes before I went on the air about all of these prepaid cell phones that have been seized. You,
yeah,
know, hundreds and hundreds of them.
Yeah.
Because they're used as detonation
triggering
devices.
Triggering devices, yeah.
Yeah, and so I guess... boy, that together with the people that are not afraid to die in the execution of a terrorist act, God, what do you do?
Well, we're
what do you do? And that's why there are no other callers, because I guess everybody else is as baffled as I am. I've put out a question that I thought would make the phones ring off the hook, and all we have, and I appreciate that we have Andy and Harold, but we don't have anybody else. And I know that we have a huge audience.
Yeah.
So I guess everybody else is just sort of as baffled as I don't know what the heck to do.
MZ.
But my gut tells me we better do something nuclear fast.
We're in the habit, of, as a rule in the world, of using reason to solve problems. But that only works when you're dealing with an opponent that has reason. And now we're dealing with an opponent that doesn't have reason, and this is a very foreign concept to us. And I think most people walking around who are somewhat aware of what's going on in the world recognize we're out of control.
Right. Harold, can we keep you on for a little bit? We can only have a finite number of people. We do have two other callers, Bruce and Brookdale and,
okay,
Robbie the Gun Guy, and somebody else calling. They might want to address you, unless you want to just say one more thing and then ring off.
No, I'll stay on, but I want to talk to Andy, too, when I can.
Okay.
Andy, I want to tell you something. Are you listening?
Yeah, right here.
Now, but so is everybody else. Right. You don't mind, do you?
I hope Israeli intelligence is smart enough. I'm sure they, the Brits, are. You're hearing stuff like Hezbollah, Hamas, little groups of Islamic terrorists, they're much bigger than that. And if they do unite, there will be over a billion of them. I don't quite fear the ones in Indonesia, but in Pakistan and, of course, Iraq and Iran, the Sunni and Shiites, they're going to have to be dealt a blow that you won't rise up against the West again. When they first fought the Greeks up at Constantinople, Muhammad tried to take the city. It's called Istanbul now because the Turks took it later.
Right.
The Greeks went out there and burned 2,000 Muslim ships, and he killed them all. The Greeks did. It was 600, 700, 800 years before the Muslims tried something again. So use our power, Andy, now. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Well, you won't get an argument out of me.
Stand by, Harold. Let's see what Bruce in Brookdale has to say. Hey, Bruce, welcome to the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO and AM 1340 KOMY.
Hi, Mike. Unfortunately, this is a great show, but we have to talk about this.
Yeah.
I always, from the beginning, I believed that this war was inevitable. And what they're doing now just proves it. You cannot have those people live their own lives by themselves. Wherever they move, they try and impose their law over the existing law of the country that they moved into voluntarily. Since we have the advantage right now, we're a small percentage of the population of the earth. Fortunately, we can take care of ourselves. And a lot of, you might call them innocent people, but the truth is, they're just people that haven't shot at us yet, most of them,
uh-huh,
a lot of them. And yeah, there will be some innocent people killed, but they're going to wipe out civilization as we know it if we don't take care of it. I think. And you're going to hate
that. Okay, how would you take care of it? Okay, you're
how
in
would
charge.
I take care of it?
Yeah, you're in charge now, Bruce. What are you going to do?
Absolute control.
Yeah.
First thing I do is I take out China, and then I let the Middle East settle down for a little bit because if we take out
when
China,
you mean, how would you take out China?
Nuke them.
I mean, that's
nuke them.
You nuke. Oh, I mean,
every big city, every all the industry, put them back. It take them a while to get back the ones that are left to get back in manufacturing again. But the point is, China's coming up too. And you cannot reason with, in my opinion, Asian intellect. They just think a little differently than we do.
Uh-huh.
So if you take out China, the Middle East, the Muslim world is going to wake up. They'll be good long enough for us to rearm, and then we take them out. And what you do is you say the first country that has a problem, you know, that creates a problem, going to pave it. And so, for instance, Pakistan. If Pakistanis want to cause a problem in the U.S., that's just fine. you know, but there's a mindset out there that has to be dealt with, and it really sounds harsh, but, and I'm going to die before this happens, but I don't, the future doesn't look good unless we really get a, I guess you'd have to say some respect, but it's more than that. I don't want them to respect me. I just don't want them to be there. I don't want to have to worry about making them respect me.
Wow.
They obviously don't.
Okay, Bruce.
Sure.
Boy, them's tough words here.
Alrighty.
But that's...
Hey, great show, Mike.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for calling it. Here comes Robbie the Gun Guy on KSCO AM 1080 and KOMY AM 1340. Robbie, you're on.
Hi.
Hey.
I think
you're in charge. What are you going to do?
I think we ought to make these people happy.
Which people?
The Muslims.
Okay, how?
Send them to Allah and let let them enjoy their virgins.
Okay, so how are you going to do that? Same way Bruce suggested?
I hate to use the nuclear word, but if that's what it takes, yeah.
Do you think it takes? Do you think it can be achieved with less than that?
I think that there's other weapons we could use. I think that the Israelis kind of messed up. They had a better plan than what they're executing now. They were going to launch an invasion from the sea along that river and seal off the whole part of southern Lebanon and then clean them out, but their prime minister nixed it.
Mm-hmm.
He gave them ample warning so they could get in their bunkers and so forth.
Right.
But that was a mistake, but I don't think they'll do that again.
Okay, again, you are the supreme commander in
charge.
I'm
the supreme commander.
What do you do? How do you do it?
I threaten to nuke Mecca.
Okay. You don't hear about Mecca too much.
No, I know.
Why is that?
It's deep within their territory. It's a forbidden city. And nobody knows what goes on there or anything.
You know, the first person I heard to say that said it on September 12th or 13th,
yep,
of 2001. You know who that person was?
No.
You there, Andy?
Yes, I am.
You know who that person was or is?
I don't recall. No.
Well, he's a talk show host on our station from
Michael Savage.
Michael Savage, wasn't it?
No. Oh. No, he might have said that.
Michael Savage.
But there
said it
there's
a
it's
a,
it's there's a it's another person. It's another person. In fact, if Michael Savage said it, I think he heard it first from this person.
Mm-hmm.
You know who it is, Andy. Andy.
Oh, Roy.
Of course.
Of course. Yes.
Oh, Roy.
Yeah,
Masters.
Roy Masters said that, yep, on this radio station.
Yep.
I might be exaggerating about September 12th, but it was definitely within 2 or 3 days of the attack that we had him on, and he said he just made everybody gasp by saying exactly what you said, a minute or so ago, Robbie, that we've got to nuke, pull out all the stops and nuke Mecca. That's what he said, and he said it a long time ago, and he was the first person I ever heard say that.
Well, I recall that as well, and going in that same direction, I think a lot could be accomplished if, let me back up just a little bit. One of the drawbacks I think Americans have found themselves into is something called political correctness and use of restraint. Generally, when you go to war, the way I see it, war is a game of real estate. If you have to go to war, you take over that nation, you beat it, and you take it over. And and Vietnam and Korea and all these other places where all this restraint was held, and I think we've made that big mistake in Iraq as well. We should have gone there. We're taking the damn place over. In the meantime, we have these other people trying to create assaults on us, and we have this tendency to talk big, but we act small.
Yeah, why is that? Is that because of political correctness, maybe?
Political correctness, and what we need to say is, look, Slick, you make one more advance towards us, and we're going to take out Damascus or Tehran. You make one move, and the point is, if we say that, then we have to do it.
So we haven't said it yet, have we?
Well, I think we need to say it.
Okay, we need to say it. Do you agree, Robbie?
Yes, I
agree. Or do you think we should just, hey, no warning, Mecca's there, now, an hour from now it's gone?
I think I would give them a warning that the next incident that happened, we would take out Mecca.
So you do want to warn them, huh? So
I do want to warn them so they know where it's coming from.
Uh-huh. Well, okay, I guess that's in keeping with what the Israelis do with the Lebanese civilians. That the that the Hezbollah hide behind.
Right.
Jeez. Okay. All righty. Well, very interesting. We got a lot of more, lot of other people. Thanks for calling the Saturday special, Robbie the Gun Guy. Appreciate it. Always great to hear from you.
Right.
Here comes West Side Al. You're on now.
Hey, Michael.
Hi.
Andy Harold. Good morning to all of you.
Yeah.
Hey, Michael, as I understand it, the National Security Agency of the United States did provide some crucial information to Britain's MI5 regarding this airline hijack or airline blow-up.
Yeah, so I should have pointed that out. Because
there are too many people that are all too eager to castigate our intelligence services in light of past mistakes that they've made.
Yeah.
But when they do get one right, we need to give them credit.
Sure.
Now, as I understand, this information was withheld from our own CIA because of fear of leaks to such places like the New York Times. So that gives you another insight into how Swiss cheese our intelligence service is.
So you're doing the same thing you just criticized other people.
What's that?
Wait a minute. You're making the point that you're being sarcastic a little bit.
I'm
about the Swiss cheese part.
I'm pointing out that our national security agencies combined have got some bad apples in there, and it looks like there are some leakers in the CIA that go back to the Clinton era and were held over for some reason. I don't know why George Bush didn't get rid of them all.
I see what you're saying.
They like to leak things ahead of time, and if they'd have leaked to the New York Times that we had a line on these airplane bombers, then they would have all got away probably.
Uh-huh.
So now, what would I do there in the Israel-Lebanon? Look, man, there's no ceasefire without victory.
Yeah.
I would let the
Israelis... So it's a big mistake what's about to happen, right, Al?
Yes. Uh-huh. Pardon me?
Yes, yes. It's a big mistake with the ceasefire.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you can't give them... Every time they were given a ceasefire, they came back with more sophisticated weapons to the point now where they're firing it into Tel Aviv, right?
Yeah, I keep hearing that definition of insanity about keep doing the same thing you've been doing and expecting different results.
Exactly. And if
why are these idiots talking about or implementing ceasefires? Can anybody explain that to me?
Because they have something else up their sleeve.
Let me paraphrase the big mouth, Rush. He said if it was the Hezbollah that was winning this encounter, there would be no talk of ceasefire. It's this underlying anti-Jew, I won't say anti-Semitism because Arabs are Semites as well.
Yeah.
But there is this undercurrent of anti-Jew that comes out at times like this. And so now when the Israelis are kicking butt and taking names, the naysayers, the Jew haters, they want to just stop it all and let the bad guys rearm and come back and kill some more Jews.
I'm happy you brought that up because I've been thinking a lot about this lately about you know, the liberals and or the progressives or whatever you want to call them. That years ago used to be stalwart, forthright defenders of Israel. And now they seem to be enemies of Israel in the same vein as the terrorists.
Well, Michael, we have a
Why is that?
We have a nice interim sort of organization here in town that your mother comments on every now and then, the Resource Center for Selective Nonviolence, full of a bunch of white liberals. That I'll bet you in their former life, they were pro-Israel and they were pro-Jew, but something has changed there.
Well, what?
I'm not sure, Michael. I don't understand it.
Do you agree, or do you think I'm being inflammatory when I say, you know, when I make a sweeping generalization based on my observation that these progressive, the Air America types, hate Israel the same as they hate, as the terrorists hate Israel.
Well, 50 years ago...
Am I being overly dramatic?
No, you're not. 50 years ago, those same types of people loved Julius Rosenberg and his wife for obvious reasons because they were working against the United States. Now Israel is working with the United States. Maybe that's it, Michael.
Oh, so they are consistent, really.
Well, it could be. You got to scrape some manure away to get a real good picture of these people.
Right.
One last thing before I go. The cell phones, the disposable cell phones.
Yeah.
It is alarming that hundreds, thousands of these things are being bought up. I mean, how many fuses do they intend to use to blow things up? And what things do they intend to blow up?
Well, the first thing that went through my mind is that, hey, you know, that paves the way for them not to be martyrs and not to, you know, not care if they get blown to smithereens themselves.
Thank you, Michael. That brings me to my last point, which is sort of semi-humorous. I think what's happened here is they need these remote devices because they've been told from up on high that there are no more virgins. so they don't want to die.
Oh my gosh, yeah, because they might have been all spoken for.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Westside Al, great to hear from you. Thank you for calling. It opens up a line at 479-1080. It's the Saturday special with MZ, Andy Anderson. Harold and Aptos is there, and no one's commented on what Harold said before. So, but if you want to, give us a call, 479-1080. We'd love to hear from you. Also have a fax number, 475-2967. The area code is 831 if you're listening outside of the area code. And you can contribute to the Saturday special on KSCO and KOMY with your voice or with your verbiage. Or text. We have a fax number, 475-2967. I have an email address, mz@ksco.com, if you want to shoot me an email. And I'll do my best to get that on the air. Next caller will be Mark in Monterey. Nuke China? Mark wants to know.
Okay. I don't think so, Michael. By the way, just a comment on Westside Al's last comment.
Yeah.
There aren't any left in this country.
Any left?
More likely than not.
And virgins, right. Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
But I'm bummed.
Wait a minute. How would you know that? Anyhow.
I take a survey? I don't know.
Now, you are in charge, moderator.
Okay.
What are you going to do?
Well, I think I'd stay with conventional weapons because, the idea of nuking China, a country that already possesses nuclear weapons and probably has the capability to fly them over here, is just mutual assured destruction. And, even if they didn't, I saw an interesting story last week in the paper that some researchers from UC Davis they've set up some monitors like on Mount Tamalpais and a number of other places in the Bay Area. They're collecting samples of air pollution. They find that 25% of the air pollution in California comes from China. So, yeah, lob a whole bunch of nuclear bombs on top of China, and a lot of that radioactivity eventually is going to make it to the shores of California.
Well, that's an argument to not use nukes anywhere because, because it's the world, the world.
But I am
operates that way.
I am concerned about Iran getting the nuclear bomb, and I truly believe that once they have it, they're going to fly one over onto Tel Aviv, and Israel's going to respond and
Washington too, don't you think?
No, I don't think so. No? I think that we'll sit back and let Israel do it because they've got their own cache of weapons, and I don't think the United States wants to get into something like that because that would just draw other nuclear powers, and I think they're going to let Israel settle down on their own.
Okay. So you think Israel should nuke Iran while it can?
No, not free. I don't think you ought to do it preemptively. They're going to, because you do something like that.
Well, won't they do it to Israel first once they're able?
How can you
not do it preemptively?
I am 99.44% sure that they're going to, but there's that almost a 0.6% that they may not. But it's more likely than not that they will. But at the same time, because we know what a nuclear weapon can do because we dropped two of them, Israel doesn't need that.
Someone pointed out that way more damage was done by the firebombing.
Well, that's true.
The
firebombing was much more incessant over a longer period of time.
It was very dramatic what happened in Hiroshima and Nagasaki for sure. But a lot of people don't realize that that's nothing compared to the raw number of casualties.
Let me jump in.
Yeah,
I think we need to address a couple of things. First off, we have to keep in mind that that we're not really talking about a nuclear bomb like was dropped in Japan. Nowadays we have these tactical nuclear weapons. We have neutron bombs. We actually have some conventional weapons that are phenomenal and very strategic. And this is not like you're just going to eliminate an entire country. I can't see it going in that direction. We have to also be mindful of the fact that if we reduce something as colossal as taking out an entire nation, it would simply do us in as well, simply economically, because it would be the end of the world's flow of money. Money is like blood that flows amongst the nation and the world. And you disrupt that, and you bring the whole house of cards down. So it's not like we're going to drop a bomb off the Enola Gay and eliminate a country. It'll be very strategic, very specific. It'll have an impact, and with the understanding that you just got the message, And don't fool around because we have a second one waiting.
Yeah.
This can come back to do us in.
Yeah. That's a really
Mark, would you like to have Andy in charge?
You know, I think that he sounds like a pretty reasonable guy.
Yeah.
I think that he'd make some good decisions. You know, here's one other thing to think about. I was thinking about this, and I don't know where to go with it, but if Ariel Sharon was still in charge of Israel, would they be prosecuting this war differently?
That's a good question. But
you know, is there that much of a difference between Olmert and Sharon? And I'm not an expert on Israeli politics and the command styles of the two gentlemen, but I think it's a reasonable question to ask.
Right.
Maybe somebody out there has an idea on that. And finally, Michael, on why the progressive left hates Israel in this country. Well, it's because it's a democracy and a relatively free country. If Israel became a clone of Hugo Chavez's Venezuela, overnight the American left would fall in love with Israel.
Never thought of that. Thank you for that suggestion. Appreciate your call, Mark. Always great to hear from you. Okay, our next caller will be, let's see, who's been waiting the longest here? Let's go back to Harold for a second here, because you haven't been able to say anything. Have you had anything you wanted to say, Harold?
Oh, you know me. I sure do.
Okay, quickly.
Okay, first of all.
Because we've got Philip in Santa Cruz, Matt in Santa Cruz, and Mickey in Salinas.
Okay,
and
I'm the no-spin historian. So, no, we don't nuke China. China's never had a history of invading anybody. So that one's out. If you fear the Chinese warlords, you can always offer them a bribe to get them out of the way. It's the final battle with Islam we're dealing with. Like your caller said, Israel's got to promote that they're a democracy. They're a cousin of the United States. They're fighting for their national security, and they're Holocaust survivors. Strong points. This little quisling that just called, oh, the economy of the world may be disrupted. You follow people like that in Neville Chamberlain, and you'll lose against Islam, because if they ever unite, they will be a powerful force. What I would do is, like you said, you know, not bomb and kill everybody in Mecca, but warn people to get out of Mecca and Jerusalem. You're going to blow up the two Muslim temples there to show your power. And if there's one more major terrorist attack, I'm going to be like the old Roman emperor, and it's going to get worse on you. Show the power. And we have the weaponry here that you can only dream about. Our Air Force and our space weapons, we would not have to even use nuclear weapons or drop any bombs to beat any country in the world, unless Russia and China united against us. But right now, Islam is vulnerable. It's just we have weak little globalist leaders, little jello boys running there instead of the right man to run our country. So.
Okay.
That's it for now.
Thank you, Harold. Okay, here's Philip in Santa Cruz. You're on the air on KSCO and KOMY, Philip. Welcome.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I've been listening to this conversation. Great show. But I think the absolute insanity of thinking about throwing around nuclear bombs is absolutely crazy. My father worked on missile delivery systems, and he explained that. We've seen it on TV. I mean, even dirty bombs are bad enough. You know, and if I was going to control this whole situation, I mean, you're dealing with people that have a mindset that read one book, essentially, and that's what they refer to. They disinfectionate half their populations. We have to get into some kind of propaganda to reach the women of these world people that don't want to sacrifice the children. I mean, I know there's a problem because I've been all through the Middle East and North Africa and all through those countries, and I've seen the mindset of a lot of the men concerning on the women. You have to do communication through the radios and talking where other Muslim women are talking to these people. You can't start talking on a very male-type situation when you have a male-dominated culture that basically suppresses their women.
Okay,
you've
said using nukes is insane.
It's absolutely insane.
Okay,
you're
in charge, obviously.
Box that Oppenheimer talked about.
You wouldn't do that.
I would never do anything
like that. What would you do? You would try to communicate to the women is what I think I'm hearing.
That's the only way you can get that. But I spoke at let me give you a little example. I spoke at the DOD at the Security SEAL Symposium on nuclear protection of materials on using secure tags, just a SEAL symposium. And we had a lot of people talking about this stuff. This was after 9/11, about a year and a half later. They had a lot of people talking about this type of communication we're talking about right now. The whole thing comes down to we have to have an incident within the United States before the people really gel, before it really happens within the United States. It's going to take something much bigger than 9/11, much bigger than the flights, you know, bombing planes and, you know, doing all this kind of stuff. It's going to take a bigger incident. And this is talking with people that were generals, congressmen. It requires a united way, have a focus. But if we do a preemptive attack and go in that type of direction, that diminishes us as a people. It diminishes as a human being. This puts us up like saying we're going to have to take the first punch before we're united. I can't envision that we're going out there and start nuking Mecca and nuking people, and then we're marginalizing the people that are trying to that are struggling within the Islamic communities to basically try to push off the radicals. Mm-hmm. The religious and spiritual people have been totally marginalized. We're not even approaching these people.
So
we're not approaching these.
We're sitting there and we're just going on
the radicals.
Shouldn't stoop to their level is what you're saying.
Yeah, we have to go in another direction. It doesn't mean nuke and mail and, you know,
Philip,
all
I'm dying to know. Are you listening to us on KOMY or KSC?
I don't know. I just have you set, and I'd like to listen because I work in front of my computer the other day, and I switch between your stations.
Oh, okay.
So I listen to Air America and I go back and forth. I enjoy it. You know, I go back and forth because I get both sides.
Right.
I enjoy it thoroughly.
Because I don't recognize you as a caller. Is this the first time you've called?
This is the first time I've called.
Oh, welcome aboard. Thanks for calling.
Well, the only reason I called is because I've been joining you for so many years because I have my little workbench here and I do little surface mount equipment and stuff. And I just listen throughout the day and listen to the communities. But when you start, you know, talking nuclear bombs, I mean, that just drives me right up the wall. I mean, you drop one in, you know, San Jose. It's gone. I mean, it's gone. I mean, there's nothing there. We're done for a long, long, long time.
Yeah.
And then we start saying, okay, Israel's going to take care of this. It just goes down this deep rolling slope that doesn't stop. Then
but
it's
what,
saying...
forgive me, let me jump in. But what happens if there's an offensive action against us that's nuclear? Do we want to just sit back and be politically correct?
We're going to have to at some point.
Well, I think that's insanity.
That's insanity in any ways, but you're going to have the same people. But what are we going to do on the other side?
That's the whole point of eliminating. We're dealing with something that is not human in nature.
That's right. It's totally nuts either way we go.
Well, you don't reason with people like that, and what I'm suggesting
that's
is...
That's why you have to attack it in a different direction. You have to approach it
But you're not going to attack these extremists.
You have to go after their women, their children. So they don't want to sacrifice. You have to propagandize. You have to do an extensive thing in the country. You have to talk to the...
They won't be allowed to listen, Philip.
I know that. I've been there. I know they lock them up, that stuff, but you have to make the tremendous effort. There's other communities that are more open within that side, and they do move from family to family across borders. They do have that type of communication where you bring in other ideas. I know they'll go out there and they'll kill a Muslim woman that's trying to do, you know, health care. I've seen that in those areas. I've seen where you only have a doctor that only go up into a certain area about once a month and there's a tremendous line.
Okay.
And I know they do all that stuff.
Is this clock correct in here, Dave? Oh, are we 2 minutes behind or what? Get on the mic and tell us, please.
We got about 1 minute before the top of the hour.
Okay, good. Yeah, listen, Matt in Santa Cruz, Mickey in Salinas, Don in Live Oak, we're going to have to take a break at the top of the hour. Then we have a brand new K's commentary that's coming on at the top of it, and I don't know how long it is, probably 4 or 5 minutes or something. We promise we will get to you. If you don't mind holding, that's great. If you drop off, you might not get back in. I don't know. We do have a free line here now. So probably if you want to hang up and call back, it'll be okay. Mickey and Salinas and Don and Live Oak and whoever else is. But anyhow, geez. So what time is it, according to your clock, with the seconds?
59 and 32,
33, 34. Okay. All right. Yeah, we're still on. So, Philip, have you said your piece, or do you want some more time later?
I just, you know, this is very frustrating with people not even talking to the marginalized.
Well, we're really happy that you called. Thank you very much. Hope you'll call again. That was Philip in Santa Cruz. Okay, and we've got a lot ahead of us here on the What Would You Do If You Were in Charge Saturday special. On KSCO Santa Cruz, KOMY Watsonville, here's Fox News.
I'm Karen Stewart. A senior Israeli government official says Israel will halt all hostilities at 7 a.m. Monday Eastern Time. The Israeli army says more than 40 Hezbollah fighters have been killed in southern Lebanon in the past 24 hours. The guerrillas say it's only four, with security officials adding at least 15 civilian deaths. Israeli TV reports seven Israeli soldiers have been killed today in Lebanon fighting. This latest round of fighting came on the heels of the adopted UN Security Council resolution.
The resolution calls for a ceasefire. Israel can't launch offensive operations, but can defend itself. Peacekeepers, their mandate to disarm Hezbollah and form an arms embargo. Many doubt that is possible, but the UN Secretary General called for international support to help make it happen.
Fox's William McGinnis repeating the latest development out of Jerusalem. A senior Israeli government official says Israel will halt all hostilities at 7 a.m. Monday Eastern Time. With a deal on the table in New York now, UN Secretary General Kofi Annan addressed the Security Council, saying although he was disappointed that this resolution took so long, it is a vital step forward. Annan also admitted that the UN has been targeted in this conflict and that he hopes council members will adopt text unanimously. British Britain remains on highest alert, and security remains tight at British airports today, 2 days after a plot to blow up U.S.-bound jetliners was broken up by British authorities. British police are working to get answers from the detained suspects, as many as 41 people. But first things first, stop the money.
The Treasury is seeking to freeze the assets of the men, who all appear to be Muslims from London and the Midlands, most of them in their 20s. One of the suspects is 21-year-old Don Stewart White, a recent convert to Islam who's also known as Abdul Wahid.
And De Brady with our sister network, Sky News. President Bush praised the British government and the U.S. agencies that cooperated. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi.
Imagine this quickly.
3 Mississippi.
Starting to lose the ability to write.
4 Mississippi.
Or falling.
5 Mississippi.
Because it's suddenly hard to stand up.
6 Mississippi.
All because a stroke has just hit you.
7 Mississippi.
In fact, every minute without getting medical help is risking permanent damage.
8 Mississippi.
Like the ability to walk.
9 Mississippi.
To smile.
10 Mississippi.
To even talk. Or remember that Mississippi is one of the 50 states. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience this, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Senate Democrat John Kerry is slamming the Bush administration for what he says is a failure of leadership in the war against terror.
Kerry, on a Friday morning conference call with reporters, said the foiled British attacks are part of what he calls a monumental administration failure.
Homeland Security has been cut so that tax cuts can be given to the wealthiest people in America. That's a failure of leadership.
Also saying it's a failure that Osama bin Laden walks free, Kerry says we should be sending more troops to Afghanistan.
Afghanistan and Pakistan are where the fight against al-Qaeda is, not in a civil war in Iraq.
Joining Kerry on that call was Democratic hopeful Pat Murphy, an Iraq veteran who's facing Pennsylvania Republican Congressman Mike Fitzpatrick, who Kerry claims is also soft on terror in Washington. Chris Barnes, Fox News Radio.
The story is not over for incumbent Democratic Senator Joe Lieberman. The Connecticut senator is now officially an independent candidate for his job. Lieberman lost Tuesday's Democratic primary to anti-Iraq war challenger Ned Lamont, but then he filed papers the very next day to get on the November ballot as an independent. And it could just work out for him. Connecticut voters have a history of embracing other independent candidates. For example, former Governor Lowell Weicker, a Republican who lost his Senate seat to Lieberman in 88, ran for governor as an independent in 1990, and he won. The Army's head of recruiting says the branch will meet its goal of signing up 80,000 new soldiers by the end of the fiscal year next month. Jeff Sparra told a Pentagon briefing it signed up nearly 10,900 recruits in July alone, making good after last year when the Army fell 7,000 soldiers short. And a bust of Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton unveiled this week at the Museum of Sex in Manhattan. Artist Daniel Edwards calls his creation the presidential bust of Hillary Rodham Clinton, the first woman president of the United States. I'm Karen Stewart, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us here at AM 1080 KSTO Santa Cruz, AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather report for today, Saturday, August 12th, 2006. Looks like today will be mostly cloudy with patches of fog in the morning, west winds up to 12 miles an hour, and highs in the low 70s. Tonight you can expect it to be mostly cloudy with some fog and west winds around 12 miles an hour, lows in the mid-50s. And tomorrow will be partly cloudy with patches of fog in the morning, southwest winds around 10 miles an hour, and highs around 70 degrees. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today, you can expect light winds becoming northwest 10 to 20 knots in the afternoon, with wind waves 2 to 4 feet and a northwest swell 3 to 6 feet at 9 seconds, along with patchy fog in the morning. Tonight out there on the bay, you can expect west winds 5 to 15 knots, with wind waves 1 to 3 feet and a northwest swell 3 to 7 feet at 9 seconds, along with areas of patchy fog after midnight. The temperature here at the station is 62 degrees, and it's time to take you back to the Saturday special with your host, MZ, right here on AM 1080 KSCO and AM 1340 KOMY.
Hey, Dave. Dave, you sound really, really good on the radio.
Yeah. Thank you, thank you.
So we have this hour number two telephone jingle thing that we usually open. That, there it is.
I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show.
Even the way you transitioned into the hour two jingle, it was just so smooth. We didn't hear the ring, but you know, it's almost better that way to not hear the ring. It was so smooth. Yeah.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO. Bye.
Dave Michaels, you the man, you the man. Thanks a lot. Okay, welcome to hour number two of the Saturday special. We're going to be on the air right up until 12 noon. My name is MZ, and if you've been listening to us for years on KSCO, you know the format, but if you're relatively new, if you're just tuning in on KOMY, it's probably brand new to you, and this is a local program that we produce from KSCO and KOMY Studios. It's your program for you to call and tell us your thoughts. We're on for 2 hours, and it's on the weekend, so people aren't rushing typically to get to work or anything. And there's a lot more time. We give more time to callers during the Saturday special, and we can cover topics more comprehensively. We have quite a number of callers today. Mickey and Salinas has been waiting for quite a while, over 20 minutes now. We're only going to keep him waiting just a little bit longer, and we will put him on, put him or her, because I know there are such things as female Mickeys, on the air right after we do the world premiere of Kay's latest commentary. You ready, Dave? Take it away!
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
First, I'd like to thank local listener Chris Spencer for the following remarks given by Brigetta Gabrielle, delivered on Saturday, July 29th at Duke University during their counterterrorism speak out. I'm proud and honored to stand here today as a Lebanese speaking for Israel, the only democracy in the Middle East. As someone who was raised in an Arabic country, I want to give you a glimpse into the heart of the Arabic world. I was raised in Lebanon, where I was taught that the Jews were evil, Israel was the devil, and the only time we will have peace in the Middle East is when we kill all the Jews and drive them into the sea. When the Muslims and Palestinians declared jihad on the Christians in 1975, they started massacring the Christians city after city. I ended up living in a bomb shelter underground from age 10 to 17, without electricity, eating grass to live, and crawling under sniper bullets to a spring to get water. It was Israel who came to help the Christians in Lebanon. My mother was wounded by a Muslim's shell and was taken into an Israeli hospital for treatment. When we entered the emergency room, I was shocked at what I saw. There were hundreds of people wounded, Muslims, Palestinians, Christians, Lebanese, and Israeli soldiers lying on the floor. The doctors treated everyone according to their injury. They treated my mother before they treated the Israeli soldier lying next to her. They didn't see religion. They didn't see political affiliation. They saw people in need, and they helped. For the first time in my life, I experienced a human quality that I know my culture would not have shown to their enemy. I experienced the values of the Israelis, who were able to love their enemy in their most trying moments. I spent 22 days at that hospital. Those days changed my life and the way I believe information, the way I listen to the radio or the television. I realized I was sold a fabricated lie by my government about the Jews and Israel that was so far from reality. I knew for a fact that if I was a Jew standing in an Arab hospital, I would be lynched and thrown over to the grounds as shouts of joy of Allah Akbar, God is great, would echo through the hospital and the surrounding streets. I became friends with the families of the Israeli wounded soldiers, one in particular, Rina. Her only child was wounded in his eyes. One day I was visiting with her, and the Israeli army band came to play national songs to lift the spirits of the wounded soldiers. As they surrounded his bed playing a song about Jerusalem, Rina and I started crying. I felt out of place and started walking out of the room, and this mother holds my hand and pulls me back in without even looking at me. She holds me crying and says, "It's not your fault." We just stood there crying, holding each other's hands. What a contrast between her, a mother, looking at her deformed 19-year-old child and still able to love me, the enemy, and between a Muslim mother who sends her son to blow himself up to smithereens just to kill a few Jews and Christians. Difference between the Arabic world and Israel is a difference in values and character. It's barbarism versus civilization. It's democracy versus dictatorship. It's goodness versus evil. Because the Palestinians have been encouraged to believe that murdering innocent Israeli civilians is a legitimate tactic for advancing their cause, the whole world now suffers from a plague of terrorism. From Nairobi to New York, from Moscow to Madrid, and from Bali to Beslan. The first major bombing committed by Arabs against the Jewish state occurred 10 weeks before Israel even became independent. 54 people were killed and hundreds were wounded. So many times in history in the last 100 years, citizens have stood by and done nothing, allowing evil to prevail. As America stood up against and defeated communism, now it's time to stand up against the terror of religious bigotry and intolerance. It's time to all stand up and support and defend the State of Israel, which is the front line of the war against terrorism. For KSEO and KOMY, this is Case Whirling.
Wow, heavy stuff. Thanks, Chris Spencer, for sharing with my mom, and thanks, Mom, for sharing with the audience. That's really, really powerful. Okay, 14 minutes past 11 a.m. on Monterey Bay News Talk, AM 1080 KSEO, Monterey Bay Progressive Talk, AM 1340 KOMY. MZ here with Andy Anderson, and about to have Gary from Chular and Richard in Watsonville and Mickey and Salinas and Don in Live Oak. Let's just go back to the phones. The question of the day is, if you were in charge, what would you do about the Middle East situation? You are the supreme commander. You are no longer Gary in Chular or Mickey in Salinas. You are in charge. What would you do, Mickey?
Nikki.
Who?
Nikki, with an N.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. That's all right. I turned on my radio here.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry. I had a little mini one, and that still comes over here really bad.
Oh.
I've called in your program before and spoke to you on different subjects, and I have a couple of things.
Are you listening on 1340 KOMY or KSU?
No, 1080.
Okay.
And, all right.
Well, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Thank you for waiting.
And I have a couple of subjects I need to speak to. One is the worm, the other is the progressive, okay?
Okay.
Liberal progressive thing. First off, if I was in charge, I think I would stick to the original plan of closing them off. And instead of using nuclear bombs, because the same way illegal immigrant has become an unpopular word, or it's just nukes have become an unpopular word, and they don't even look at the use and what he's talking about tactical in the situation that we're dealing with, I would use, if they have this, and I'm sure they've developed everything else, if they have biological weapons that will wipe out just the people, not the buildings, okay, that only last for a limited amount of time, like the biological stuff eventually breaks down so that that area would become inhabitable again, and then you would also be able to retrieve a lot of the paperwork and documents and things that were in the building, okay? But it would take out this whole situation and still leave the region, because that nuclear radiation lasts for, 100 years, and it would travel to other countries, especially Israel, which is right next door. So it would be stupid for them to, or that close by, it would be stupid for them to ever use an actual nuclear weapon because of that radiation situation. It would be inhabitable, and it would affect the surrounding countries. So if they have a biological weapon that would have a limited amount of time for that, and it would break down, that would be one thing to do. But we can't ignore the fact that...
Where would you drop that weapon, assuming it existed?
How many times? And Mecca. I mean, just the whole thing, because there's something secret going on in that area.
So you'd use it multiple times, obviously, okay?
Oh, yes.
You'd have a laundry list of places to use that weapon. Okay.
I'm one of the believers that we need to wipe out that whole area there, that region there, that section that has a high concentration of Hezbollah.
Wipe it out in a way that there is some salvageability, right?
Exactly. Okay. And that way we can retrieve documents and see what, and who else might be behind us in other countries that we might be able to track down in other ways besides doing that. The other thing I wanted to say is, everybody's trying to be really politically correct again. Oh, well, there's innocent people and this and that and these women that, they're being kept. I'm a woman, okay? I'm a woman. And these women are being kept by these terrorists and these men that do these things to them. They're abusers. They are in this situation. They have married them by choice, sometimes by their family, whatever. But if they haven't tried to get out, or if they're just continually staying in that situation for whatever reason, when you lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas, okay? And in their situation, if you lay down with terrorists, you may not wake up because you've been vaporized by another country who they've been bombing the crap out of for a while. So they've made their choice to be with these people. We can't think about this. Also, if you remember in the Bible, it says you can't serve God and mammon too. If we worry about the economical situation, or we can't, that the gentleman was saying, well, if you bomb us and you'll upset the economical thing for the world, that's not true. And if we concentrate so much on the economical situation, we're not going to be concentrating, or our judgment's going to be fogged. If you concentrate on the almighty dollar, you're not going to be concentrating on what needs to be done for the safety of the whole world.
Yeah.
So we can't be distracted by that dollar. China's been doing this to us for years by giving us cheap things to buy. They're forcing us down. The same way I used to be a manicurist, and I used to be able to charge $65 for a set of nails. Then the Vietnamese came in these little shops, and they've driven it down to like $14 for a full set of nails. I went out of that kind of business. Now they're forcing us to buy cheap. It's our choice, okay? But the mentality, and it's driving down our economy because it's putting other businesses out of business that made products here and factory jobs here. So the more and more we're buying cheap stuff and supporting them, and they're just kind of enticing us and seducing us with that, and our economy's getting worse. And we're being forced into needing to buy cheaper things, okay? So it's kind of a plan, I believe, that they have to get us dependent on them. And then that keeps them safe while they're building up their economy and become more of a threat to us. This is a very dangerous situation. Now, the other thing I wanted to say, I wanted to talk about the progressives and the liberals. And I don't know if anybody's noticed this. I'm from New York, but I was also a security officer out here in California for years. And I don't know if anybody's noticed, but there seems to be, and this has been going on for years, ever since I was 17, because I remember when the liberals came to me and, you know, how they started trying to brainwash me. But they work on you subtly. They work on you when you're young and you're teenagers. And I woke up from that. I actually went into the darkness and I came back. Okay. But the thing is,
you went into where and came back?
Into the darkness, into the fog.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and came back and woke up.
What woke you up? And
well, it was before 9/11, but I think that was the ultimate thing because I'm from New York and that is my home, and I'm quite disgusted and very it's just unnerving to see all the liberal movements that have grown in New York in a place that is supposed to be their home. I'm not even sure they're all from there, but for a lot of those people to be defending these terrorists, that, I mean, I'm sorry, but that was my home. A lot of people see it on TV, but they don't know what it is to feel that. If they're from other countries and they've had this kind of thing happen, then they know what I'm talking about. But this, I can't go into that because it's so emotional for me, and I really need to get my thoughts out on this subject. But the thing is that when I was 17, they come to you when you're young, and they work into being friends with you, and gradually they start sharing the thoughts with you, and then it starts getting to where you meet more and more people, and they kind of indoctrinate you, especially when in groups. Now, think about this. I feel...
You're talking about the liberal people?
Yes, the liberals, the political group.
Okay.
Starts with people, and they get invited to other things, and just they really get a hold of people when they're very young.
It's almost like a religious indoctrination then, huh?
Exactly. And that's what I'm talking about. Anybody has noticed that they're doing the exact same thing like Al-Qaeda uses. They train their people young. I feel that our political groups in our country have been infiltrated by those that are from the other countries that are our enemy, and they're using our own political parties against ourselves. It's a divide and conquer method.
Well, are you aware, Nikki? Are you aware? I'm sure you are. I think you are. That you're being broadcast on the Air America on our Air America station, KOMY AM 1340.
That's a darn shame.
It's a darn shame. Why?
That's gonna upset them. That's gonna upset them, I'm sure.
Oh, I see.
I don't care.
Well, no, I don't.
I just want.
I'm happy, but I hope that someone who's listening on KOMY will call the program.
Yeah,
nonetheless, because everybody seems to be a KSCO caller now, you know, and I want to get some more input from the other side.
Well, you know, we've heard enough of them, to tell you the truth. They're the
you want to engage in dialogue.
Problem.
Don't you want to engage
I
in dialogue?
I do every day, and I'm really sick and tired of they don't even realize they've been brainwashed. They really actually believe these things. That they're spewing about America, about hating
here's
America,
someone who's
about
listening.
Being against here's the press and the United States and everything else. I'm just so sick of it.
Here's someone who's listening on KOMY only. I'm going to put him on, okay? It's Richard N. Watsonville. Meet Nikki and Salinas, Richard. Do you have something to say to her?
Hey, Nikki, how are you?
I'm just fine. And yourself?
I'm fine, and I'm a little upset that I can't call 1340 and get in on this action. I actually have to call 1080.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll explain that later. But just I'll explain that later, Richard. But go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I was able to get in on this, but I want to tell you guys something. I think a lot of people are brainwashed on religion, and they.
So this is what I'm talking about right here.
But you're brainwashed on religion, Nikki.
No.
Well, why would you quote books
that we don't need in this country?
Hey,
okay.
we don't need
nothing
no people
wrong.
Like you quoting books out of a Christian Bible.
There's nothing wrong with loving God. There's nothing wrong with loving God. And you people,
why don't you love your neighbor?
Try and go against everything. Yeah, we do.
No,
that's
you don't.
Thing.
If
that's
you loved your neighbor,
thing.
You
the
wouldn't be killing them.
Talk about loving your neighbor and wanting freedom of speech and all this for all of these child molesters and everything else. But when
oh, now we're
being
talking
a Christian,
about child
they
molesters.
Want to shut
what
us
the
up.
Stand by. I'm going to have to do this one at a time. Richard's on hold now.
ACLU, how about that?
Okay, I put Richard on hold, and you could say a few things, and then I'll put you on hold, and he can say a few things back, so you're not talking on each other. But because I definitely both want you to have your say, because you have differing perspectives, and that's what this is all about. It would be nice if we could talk, you know, without stepping on each other, but when that happens...
This is the way it usually goes. Okay, the first thing they want to do is attack God, attack the American flag, attack America, okay? Anything to do with Christianity... They want to shut down. This is part of it. This shows their connection with people outside America that hate the U.S. and everything we stand for, freedom and our love of God and our love of country. Okay, but they'll be the first ones to support the ACLU, and the ACLU supporting these child molesters' right freedom of speech, quote, to use the internet to teach people how to seduce children, okay, and they provide them with counsel and everything and want to defend their right. That's not freedom of speech. Freedom of speech was never meant to be used for an illegal activity, a disgusting, lowly activity such as child molestation. But you see, the liberals want to support the ACLU and everything else. And the first thing they'll do, they want freedom of speech for everyone else but Christians. So when they talk about being understanding, compassionate, when they start showing it towards Christians and other people, maybe they'll start getting some in return. But in the meantime, they're just trying to run the country just like the Muslims, okay? They're just trying to shut down our way of life. Sorry.
Nikki, have you called the station before?
I have.
Oh, wow. This is the first time I've heard you. And if there was an award for the exceptionally intriguing and intelligent phone call, caller, I would give it to you. Maybe we need to have that. Maybe we need to have that award.
Thank you.
Would you mind being put on hold and giving your phone number so we can get in touch with you? I won't do it on the air, obviously, but was that okay? Dave, you got that? Nikki is on line 5. I'm going to put her on hold. Please get her phone number. And Richard, we'll put Richard back. Go ahead, Richard. You might have some response to what she said.
Not much.
Oh.
I don't think. I mean, she's talking about freedom of speech, Mike.
Uh-huh.
And you know,
it's hard for me to argue about with anything that she said. I mean, don't you think she made some really...
Well, no, I can argue with everything you got. You got no freedom of speech.
We still have some freedom of speech, Richard.
We got a little bit, Mike, because you allow us to have a little bit. You dose it out to us on Saturday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
you dose it out to us for 2 hours on Saturday mornings. We all look forward to it. The number one rated program in the Monterey Bay, the Saturday special. You know, there's your big pat on the back. But as religion goes, man.
No one ever pats me on the back. But that's why I like Richard so much because he just did.
I would behind you a lot more, Mike, if you would have gone to war. You know? Andy went, but he didn't really get there, did you, Andy?
Oh, wait a second. Let me bring Andy back. Andy, he asked
me
a question.
Yes, hi.
You there, buddy?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were out there backing us up, weren't you?
Well, I was. You mean you're talking about Vietnam?
Yeah, you were on a carrier.
Yes.
I mean, that's what we need in motion. I mean... You know, you guys want to deal with religion. You can't put religion in front of a rifle, any kind of religion. I don't know why people are fighting over religion. I think I'd come in there and annihilate Gibraltar and turn the Mediterranean into a damn lake. That'd be the end of it. I'd let Europe and Africa go at each other with the whole continent of Asia and let them have at each other and just blockade the whole thing with carriers, and it'd be over with. That way you would control the Christians by controlling Rome. You would control what they want to call the Jewish people by controlling Israel. And you would control the Muslims and the Buddhists and the Hindus by controlling Asia. It's just as simple as that. You get rid of the religions and start acting normal. People actually get, like the last lady said, that, you know, when she was talking about pedophiles and stuff, you know, they get brainwashed into religion. Not so much brainwashing children. It's people, old adults that are, you know, brainwashed into certain religions to the point where they don't want to give or take, and they are right, and their book is going to be fulfilled, isn't it, Andy?
Well, I think you make a good argument, and the reason I say that is, ideally, the purpose behind religion is to create civility.
Well, you're not a religious man anymore, are you?
Well, I don't think that I ever have, but I had...
You're very spiritual.
Well,
things happen to me, but back to what you were saying, that the ideal situation in religion is to bring civility to behavior, because we all have this other spirit in us that wants us to do crazy and weird things, and our entire psyches are made up with human things.
But those people are walking around with books that are telling them what to do, and they're only picking out the stuff that they like, and they do that part. They don't fulfill the whole book. They don't even go by the whole book, do they?
Interesting that you bring that up, because what happens in the Muslim nation is those people are motivated by fear.
They got a lot to fear, though, don't they?
Well, the thing
look who all hates them, man.
Let me finish my thought. The drawback to that is, if you're afraid to be wrong, that doesn't make you right. You know, in other words, if you're right because you're fearful of being wrong, that doesn't make you right. And these people do some pretty extreme things. They cut off your hand, cut off your head. just there was recently a picture of a little fellow who stole a loaf of bread and they crushed his arm so that it was no longer usable. And so these people are bathed in a hypnotic state, and they have no freedom, and they are simply robots. They don't have free minds. They don't have reason, and it's a very, very dark side of a religion.
Right.
And Christians have their failings, too, believe me. Some of the Christians I run into, and I think in the most ideal sense, Christianity is pretty wonderful because it, I think, points us in the right direction when it comes to behavior, but it doesn't free people from religion either. That's the thing that I see. Religion, if it's good religion, should free you from religion. And I think that's what you're trying to say. People are just in a hypnotic state their entire lives. They never get free of it. Good religion should free you from religion. And then you are self-governed and self-controlled, and you wouldn't have the nightmares that we're seeing currently.
Richard, thanks for your call to the Saturday special. Always great to hear from you. Now, Don in Live Oak and Gary in Chular have each been waiting for a long time. Don's been waiting a little longer, so we're going to put him on next. Welcome to the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO and AM 1340 KOMY. Live Oak, Don, you're on.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey.
First of all, I'd like to, at the top of the hour, Fox reported something interesting, and I guess Santa Cruz lost out again. We didn't get the bust of Hillary Clinton.
I was wondering why they put that in there. I was thinking, wait a minute, have we switched news companies? But I guess what they were doing was they were just sort of ridiculing that thing. That's why they put it on, right? The Fox News.
Well, I guess
I was scratching my head on that one.
I guess we didn't get the Museum of Sex either. But anyway, I'd like to go back to the original question of
please
when I called an hour or so ago.
Yeah, Don is now in charge. Live Oak,
okay.
Don is in charge of.
I think we should use nukes. But in a different way. For example, Europe, and I'm very familiar with what Europe and the Green Party has done in Europe over the last 8 or 9 years. They formed an alliance in the EU with most of the governments. If they would get rid of the old nuclear-style power plants, they would support the new pellet-style power plants that don't melt down. So Europe now has an abundance of electricity. That's why hydrogen vehicles are on a they have close to 80,000 of them throughout the greater EU. Electric cars are on the rise. They're not even looking at hybrids. They're electric trains. They're throughout the whole EU, most of the countries are embracing this. Germany uses a ton of electricity bought from France. France that's held up in Santa Cruz, at least, and most of the country is the progressive, you know, place. But they're weaning themselves off of oil. We should do the same. We could use the electricity to crack coal and make artificial gasoline. We could crack natural gas and produce gasoline very efficiently from natural gas instead of burning it in power plants for electricity. It's a much higher percentage of energy yield for the same amount that goes in if you crack it. So that would take us away from, you know, quickly some sort of mandate to get us around from this paranoia that Europe seemed to overcome about nuclear energy. They also have breeder reactors, and which were invented also in the U.S., the same with the pellet reactors by GE and Westinghouse, which recycle about 90% of the nuclear waste. You never hear about Europe having a problem with nuclear waste.
Right.
And storage. Well, that's one of the big reasons. The Green Parties have formed this alliance over there, and it seems to be working very well. As far as looking at the Middle East in itself, a lot of people mention different peripheral subjects. I mentioned Russia. Russia has a major problem with fundamentalist Islam. Look at Chechnya. The Stans, which the breakaway provinces are of the old Soviet Union, are very high in oil. They're also Muslim, but they're on the border of either falling towards the fundamentalist or falling more towards a and I use the word progressive in a different word here, but right, more like the real meaning of progressive, a way of life and government, even though they have some dictators. If we formed a deal with Russia and said, okay, you know, you keep your sphere of influence over the Stans, even though we've kind of taken away their sphere of influence, and support this anti-fundamentalism, which they do to an extent, except for Iran, where they're economically tied, and that's the only reason Russia keeps dragging its feet with Iran, the same reason France does. Because otherwise, they're going to have to address this in their southern borders of Russia.
Don, maybe I missed it. You told me you wouldn't use nukes. What are you going to do?
I'm going to use nukes to wean us away from oil.
Okay.
So, and then you've got the issue. So that helps us with the kind of the northeastern portion of the Middle East there.
Okay.
Gets Russia and the stands putting some pressure onto the Iran. On the more to the south portion, the southeastern side, you've got China. China has an ongoing issue right now with Islamic fundamentalism within China. It's buried out there, but you can do a search in the news wires. Within the last month and a half, 2 months, they've had 13 bus bombings in southern China. And those, the Chinese government keeps trying to push it off on gas containers, people carrying around propane and gas containers.
Wow.
Well, the problem with that is that's
so they've
not,
got their own problem.
They've got their own problem. Uh-huh. And it's, you know, some of that could be accidental gas explosions, but not 13 in 2 months.
Yeah.
But they're trying to kind of hedge away from it.
Sweep it under the carpet, yeah.
We deal with China by saying, okay, you want to economically grow, which is how they're keeping their people under control right now, is through economic living standard increase. You say, okay, we'll restrict everything we import from China unless you play ball with us.
Don, I know we kept you waiting a long time,
okay,
but we got to get into the home stretch of your
so,
comment here, because
so
we got commercials and we got other people calling here.
Okay, but by putting pressure from all these different regions, we can work towards the Islamic. But why I don't think nuking Mecca or the Middle East would do anything is exactly what Kay said in her editorial, is that you're dealing with a different mindset of people. You nuke 99% of them, that 1%, it will come back in a totally, totally fanatic way and still come back. They have thousands of years of memory, it seems like. Look at it with Israel. Look at they're going back in Palestine. The memory there is too long.
Great.
And the fanaticism to really, if you were dealing with the Japanese or the Germans with Dresden, 240,000 in one night, you have an impact on people.
Yeah.
But you don't have an impact on the Islamic world by that kind of action. All you do is promote a smaller number of more intense fanatics.
Okay. Hey, thanks for your call to the Saturday special. We appreciate it. It was Don in Live Oak, and he waited a long time. Gary and Chular, then we're going to do the commercials here. You're on. Thanks for waiting, Gary.
Hey, good morning, Andy. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Hey, welcome aboard.
Interesting subject. Now, what I would do if I was in charge, this is kind of out in left field, but I would move Israel to a safer part of the world.
Where?
Where's open space? Manitoba, Alberta. Wouldn't be bad to have them as our neighbors. They kind of watch the border for us. But the thing is you propose that to the wealthy Arab nations, have them pay for it, buy it, pack it up lock, stock, and barrel, and move them to a safer part of the world. First of all, that eases tensions. Then my next thing would be get off of the oil addiction. That's where they've gotten all the money since the 30s. We developed the oil for them, and we've been paying for it. Where did they get all the money? From us. Before that, it was kind of a backwater of the world.
I can't argue with anything you said except why should Israel be moved?
Well, for their own protection, first of all, because the UN placed them in the worst.
Michael, am I still on board?
Yeah, you are, Andy.
Hi, let me jump in. We've got to keep in mind that the birth of these religions is centered in that very area, and all the thousands of years of history, and if you could call it religious evolution, took place there. It's a kind of a neat idea, but I don't think it's terribly workable, and I would doubt seriously if you would get Israelis to move. They claim it is their land, and the Palestinians claim it is their land.
It's a tragedy. And the Native Americans claim this is their land, but things change over time, you know?
Yeah. Well, religious.
And, you know,
the religious
claim California is their land. Things
the
change, but the point is that you're dealing with a situation that you're trying to cool things down. Everybody's talking about nukes. Well, let's just
It is an interesting topic. It's that would be a topic for its own Saturday special. Could this whole thing possibly be fixed by Israel moving?
Yeah, Israel
takes away the political fodder that the extremist Muslims are using. That's their excuse all the time. And that's what unites them, is they look at that all the time. Well, if you take that away, you take that fuel away from them. Then the next thing is you take the money away from them. And then after that, my third point would be, like Roy Master says, if there's still extremism going on and threaten us, then you use the religion against them. You do take Mecca and Medina away from them and say,
okay,
our religion is stronger
than
yours.
So that's a last resort, not a first resort. Okay.
Yeah, that's last resort. First is try to just ease the tension. And it all, you know, I know it's not easy to move Israel.
But
the thing is, they arbitrarily put it there. And that's when all this started.
We should at least make an attempt to consult Roy himself, since we've talked about him a time or two on the radio program. Gary, thanks for your call to the Saturday special.
Hey, and I'm your friend in NZ. I enjoy your show, and it's lots of great information comes out of there.
Thanks for the kind words. You take care. There was Gary, and now let's do the commercial break. Yeah. Back in a few minutes here.
Hi, I'm Adolfo Garcia, owner of Community Tree Service. We offer dumpster rentals, tree work, demolition, and free estimates. For any of these services, please go ahead and call my office and either talk to Regina or Naomi at 763-2391. Thank you.
Are trees around your house looking strange, leaning in the wrong direction, blocking your sunlight, in danger of falling? Take care of this and call us, the professionals, Community Tree Service. We're licensed, insured, and bonded. We offer free estimates and are ever ready in emergency situations. We take pride in being reliable and will accommodate your needs with safe professional service and advice. Call our office today at 763-2391 or from Santa Cruz, 426-6340.
For grocery shopping the way it used to be and the way it should be, shop family-owned and operated Shopper's Corner at Brand Saforti and Soquel in Santa Cruz. Why? Give a listen.
They have very fresh meat, I would say, and good produce, and a lot of their stuff is organic, and I say they have pretty good deals, too.
I love this store.
I shop at Shoppers because they've been here for a long time. They always have good service, and I love their meat and deli section.
We've been doing this for 50 years or more. We never have to wait very long, and we get excellent service, and it's just wonderful. You can find everything here.
I like their lamb chop and their turkey. And, you know, there's sweet potato.
Because they have a good variety of things and everything.
For meat, cheese, bread, produce, and the best selection of wine anywhere, shop Santa Cruz's oldest and friendliest family-run market, Shopper's Corner. It's the store with a wooden floor. J&S Surplus and Outdoor Store is definitely the Central Coast's coolest and most equipped outdoor store, with many departments to serve you. They have hunting, hiking, and camp gear, duffel bags, backpacks, and tons of crazy camouflage clothing for adults, kids, and ladies, like six-pocket camouflage pants, t-shirts with military logos, boonie hats, rugged footwear, and much, much more. There's other fun stuff like binoculars, night vision, military and name-brand knives, fantasy swords, laser lights, stun guns, mace, and protective gear. Not to mention, J&S Surplus and Outdoor Store is the Central Coast number one stop for paintball and airsoft sports. Just 2 minutes north of the Moss Landing Power Plant, 15 minutes from 41st Avenue, or go online to surplusinc.com. That's surplusinc.com, a valuable website that's sure to expand your historical and patriotic background.
Hello, I'm Robert Stangero. Many Santa Cruzans know me as Big Boy. The original Stangero family has been in business since 1879. Our name stands for quality, quantity, and great service. Our Regilda's restaurant on the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf is still the fishing headquarters for the area. It's where fishermen gather every morning for coffee and breakfast before heading out on the bay. Stop by Gilda's and say hello. Both Gilda and my son Dino look forward to meeting you at Gilda's at the center of the Santa Cruz Municipal Wharf.
Okay, welcome back to the home stretch of the Saturday special for today. We got 15 minutes remaining. It's 11:45 on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. And your, well, I suppose it could be your favorite radio station, AM 1340 KOMY. Simulcasting today, the Saturday special, the only time we simulcast. And the topic du jour is, if you were in charge, if you were the supreme commander, what would you do about the Middle East situation? And Mike in Carmel is going to answer that question right now. Mike, you're on.
Well, thank you, MZ. I'm going to try. I think one of the things that we need to do is we need to divide the Islamic countries rather than have them unify against us. And the most efficient way of doing this, as much as I dislike military solutions, is to take on Iran. And the way we can take on Iran is to eliminate its ability to export and produce oil. 90% of Iran's oil comes from one province in the southwest corner of Iran. It's called Khuzestan. We could go in there. We could take that area. We could take out all the military installations along the Persian Gulf and not have to conquer the whole country, and that would cause the country to lose its financial power, including the ability to support Hezbollah and other radical Islamic nation.
Yeah, okay.
And we should form a coalition, if at all possible, with countries like Egypt, Jordan, Kuwait, maybe perhaps the Saudis, because these nations are all threatened by Iran, including Iraq. So that, and the other point, I keep hearing if we could just find other sources of energy for oil. Well, if the United States stopped importing oil tomorrow, all the other countries in the world are still going to buy oil from Iran. So it's not going to make any difference.
Well, theoretically, if we could find a way to stop, so would the other countries, theoretically. So.
Well, yeah, but they don't have huge volumes of coal like we do in other potential energy sources. So China and Japan, and not Russia, but other countries like India and Southeast Asia.
Okay, so your solution is go after them, their wallet, right?
Well, this area, you see, this area is a low-lying area. It's one of the few low-lying areas. In other words, low elevation. You would go in militarily. You would take the heights which surround the mountains and mountain passes which surround that province, and we could just roll in from Iraq. It's pretty much flat from Iraq to this province. If you look at a map, you can see it's extremely vulnerable, and they will neuter them. And then all we have to do is take out their military installations along the Persian Gulf and any other within the country that threaten
us. But not with nuclear weapons.
With nuclear weapons. What we need to do is get the Iranian moderate, which are the majority of the people in Iran, on our side. We need to show them that we can defeat their militarist, fanatical government. And then once if we take control of that area, we can help push the country toward a more moderate government.
Okay, Mike, thanks very much for calling the Saturday special. Do you agree with that, Roy?
Well, I thought it was rather intelligent.
Yeah, so do I, actually.
As a military commander, I don't know. You'd really have to, as far as strategy is concerned, you have to be right on the battlefield because the conditions are always changing and you have to adapt to that. You know that.
Were your ears burning earlier?
Why, no.
Because we were talking about you behind your back. A couple of people called in and... Andy Anderson is on. Are you there, Andy?
Yeah, hi. Hi, Roy. Oh, hi, Andy. Nice to see you, hear from you.
And one of the things that someone brought up was nuking Mecca. And I said, on honor about September 12th, I heard someone else say that. And it was you. And I asked Andy and other people. They didn't remember that you had said that very, very early. I mean, very soon after 9/11.
The only thing is, there's very little America could do without starting a world war and using nuclear weapons. I've always said that eventually, because America does not have the will, because we're divided, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. Eventually, because every party, the wounded party, especially America, doesn't have the will to fight, the to do what the unthinkable, which is kind of what you just said, but I might change the strategy right as of now. Israel will be forced. Israel is the only one that can do the nuking, and we have to. She has to wait until all the countries of the world, all the enemies of goodness, of the good people in the world, because you know the United Nations is an enemy. I don't know why we should have anything to do with them. Technically, we have to, because we have to do our best to get along. But it seems as though the forces of good and the forces of evil are sort of beginning to align up against each other. I've always said that eventually the good of every race and color and creed will be forced to fight the bad of every race and color and creed. And I think Israel is the touchstone of all this. But America, unfortunately, and I don't want to sound too long-winded, but the enemy is a broken country. America is a broken country because we have people called liberals. I'm sorry, I know you have a lot of liberals listening there, but if you look at the liberals very carefully, they're very akin to socialists or communists. And they seem to be like, if you look at the history of the politics of liberalism, it is appeasement. And appeasement emboldens the enemy. So the worst enemy we have, other than Iran and all the terrorists, are the liberals in this country, who are basically appeasers. They are basically cowards, and they are sensual people who don't have any life apart from this. They're carnal comforts, and they are the same kind of people who, in the Second World War, represented by Neville Chamberlain, put off war for 30 years while Hitler got stronger and stronger and stronger, until eventually even they had to give their own sons and daughters to fight that war. And 80 million people died when it could have been taken earlier on, had we not had the liberal opposition. In this country, the liberal opposition, socialists or communists, hid behind environmentalist groups to keep us. This is a 50-year plan. We don't have any idea how far the socialists can plan, but they hid behind the environmental groups so we could not produce our own oil. And American petrodollars are much more powerful than Chinese money or Russian money. And had we drilled for oil, had we become dependent, because we've got enough oil and coal in this country, we can turn coal into oil. The Germans did it during the war. They never had any oil wells. And so they were able to turn their coal into oil. Had we done all what we had to do that was prevented by the so-called environmentalists, which were socialists or liberals, we wouldn't have this war today, because our petrodollars are actually giving the adversary the money to hang us, the rope to hang us and kill us. And on top of that, we have blaming George Bush and blaming everybody who's doing the right thing for doing the right thing. And so that's what emboldens the terrorists are really cowards. If we didn't have all this going on, we wouldn't have this war to begin with.
It makes sense to me.
I hope I wasn't too long.
No, we're being broadcast on our liberal station, KOMI.
I know,
and they're free to call. They're free. We only have about 7 minutes left. But anybody who wants to take issue with what Roy or anybody else has said, we do have open lines. You might have tried to call earlier when they were jammed, but we have about three or four open lines right now at 479-1080. So especially if you disagree with anything that was said, please call in, okay, because we only have a few minutes. We'd like to hear from you. Well, the phone's ringing now. I'm going to go ahead and take this. Oh, two phone calls. Okay, who's this? Hello, you're on the air. Wait a minute. Who is this? You're on the air. Hello?
This is Mike in Corleas.
Do you disagree with anything you just heard?
No, I think the last guy that just spoke.
Yeah, that's Roy. He's on.
He made more sense than all the rest of the show, the whole show. You can't, all this duking and you know, In my opinion, it's ridiculous. That last guy made more sense than anybody.
He's still on. He's still on.
Oh, you can, hi.
Yeah, you can tell him directly.
I wish I could be more succinct, but it's not easy to say it in a few minutes, you know.
Yeah.
Well, the show, I know that MZ wants to make the show interesting and everything, but it doesn't make any sense. You can't nuke the world.
Well, it's a bit late now to do all that, because if America would start, it would start, everybody would be nuking each other. But Israel is a tiny little country as big as Los Angeles. It only has 6 million people. And it seems like the whole world is now ganging up on the weakest guy in the block, or so they think. Israel is, and all this has happened because we never did what we should have done, because liberals are basically socialists or communists, but they don't even know how they're being manipulated. Cowardice.
No, they don't
manipulated.
Even. They don't. The liberals don't even understand what they're talking about.
No, they don't.
Caller, what's your name?
Mike in Corleone.
Mike. Oh yeah, you told me. I'm sorry. Mike, this is, you're talking to Roy Masters.
Yes.
And you can listen to Roy each weeknight from 10 p.m. to midnight on KOMY. That's, Roy is the last shred of non-liberal programming we have on KOMY, and we're not going to take him off.
No, I wouldn't take him off.
Yeah. Okay. So anyhow, for those of you who are also listening, you can hear Roy live, and you can call him and talk to him. Although the program is really not very—it's not political. It's more of an advice line for
it
people
is.
To. So in any case, you and I have to work on doing a political program, Roy.
Yes, but I just want to say one thing since I'm talking to my liberal friends, is that they can come back to common sense, and we'd have and I'm only talking about common sense. And I'm talking about the fact that the liberal mind is a mindset caused by not having a good family life and being submissive to a bully in the family. And it becomes a political thing. What happens to family life? When you have bullies in a family life, one family member is a bully, especially the father, it becomes a resentment towards the male authority, the army, and everything that's male. You see what I mean?
I think the
liberal mind suffers from not having the information. They just listen to their friends gossip between each other.
We only have 3 minutes left. We got to do this. We got to get to two or three other phone calls. So this will be a tease for our next program or something like that. We'll get into it in more detail, okay? Is that okay, guys? Let's do that.
Guys.
Okay. Stand by here. So thank you, Mike. Now, here's Craig in Honolulu real quick. You're listening on the Internet. Go ahead, Craig. Do you disagree?
Oh, hello, guys.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't disagree. I hope you'll still take my bullet point.
Okay, well, hurry.
Okay. I think moving Israel is a no-go. Definitely that's appeasement, and appeasement is going to eventually lead to a Islamic Europe and
that's
the downfall of America. As far as solutions go, quickly, I think going after Iran, and I think the way to do that would be to, this may sound a little extreme, but to turn their society upside down by going after the affluent, while simultaneously, of course, going after the military targets. But I think ridding the country of the top echelon is going to turn the society upside down, and that may allow us to make some progress.
But you could drop, you know what Israel could do? When she has to wait until she's pushed against the sea. There's a certain time and place for that, but only Israel could do that, nobody else, because the whole world wouldn't attack Israel, a tiny little country. But if America did it, we could start World War III with nukes everywhere. Israel, only as a last resort, would have to drop leaflets over Tehran and saying, get out of town, because I'm sorry, we have no choice.
Yeah,
or just do it and flatten the whole country. And that would be the last resort.
Craig, are you really in Honolulu, Craig?
Yes, sir.
And did you used to live here?
I did. That's correct.
Oh, okay. Great. And listen, I want to thank you. We got one other phone call to get to, and that's the end of the program. But please call again. Thank you. We'll do this earlier soon. Okay. Here's Ed in Santa Cruz. You're on the air, Ed, real quick.
Well, Michael, I haven't listened to the program that much for a couple of months, but it's with consternation that I come back and listen this morning. I have to say the only word that I can use for all these people that want to blow up Mecca or the mosques in Mecca, the mosques in Jerusalem, and now we're going to blow up Tehran. Richard wanted to blow up the Rock of Gibraltar and change the geography. Michael, this is insanity. This is insanity, and I'm saddened to realize that the only people that want to listen to this stuff are the people that want to have Armageddon.
Well, you
and
have to understand,
it is pure insanity.
We're dealing with insanity. When we're dealing with the Nazis, we're dealing with insanity. Sort of an insane. It's not really insanity. It's insanity. You cannot reason with it. You cannot appease it. You got to stop it. You got to step on its neck when it's small. But we wait too late. It's too big, and then we have a huge world war we could have avoided. Appeasers will always create the very war they're trying to avoid, except it gets bigger.
There's someone on the phone who's had an altercation with you in the past, and we're going into the slipping into the news a little bit. But here, go ahead, Billy Sunshine. Do you
Hello,
have anything,
Mike.
Do you have anything to say to Roy here?
It's your bully, Roy. Hi, Roy.
Hi.
It's Billy Sunshine. Go
Hi,
ahead.
Hi, Billy.
Hey, buddy. So I just think, as the last caller points out, after hearing what you all think about how to accomplish these things and then hearing your definition of liberals, I'm still happy to be in that liberal camp, I got to tell you. And as to the question of the day, which was obviously a great one, Mike, the phones were sizzling today, huh, buddy?
Yeah.
Here's the answer, and you all missed it. It's like in the old days when the Iran-Iraq war was going on. Right now, if we were to pull out of Iraq, what we'd leave them with is the Shiites killing the Sunnis, which to me is the perfect situation to be in. Let them kill each other. I always found that to be very sweet, and that's what we can accomplish by actually
Billy, you're
Iraq.
Not very thinking very deep. I'm sorry.
Oh, Roy, I'm hypnotized.
I've always said that people like yourself are mentally ill.
Yes, you have.
Yeah.
You've always been wrong about that, Roy.
I know that.
Yeah.
But our kind always win wars, and your kind always create them by
No, that's not true, actually. The Democrats have been the one who actually won the wars.
No, we always had the Churchills, and we always had people, the people who are conservative, who are rational and reasonable and will stand their ground. They will win the wars, and the liberals will always sort of help them begin by appeasing and appeasing. They create the very wars that we have to fight. Thank you.
I would rather lean a little bit.
You cannot appease insane, violent people who want to kill you, and you can't reason with a murderer.
Well, I agree with that. But of course, on the other hand, all the talks of nuke this, nuke that, what a bunch of fools these people are, huh? Dangerous people.
We have to take care of that. We have to really try to reason with our liberal friends in this country and try to wake them up from their traumas of childhood.
Okay, and with that, we're going to have to say that's the end of the program. Roy, thanks for a lot. Andy, thank you for being there.
Always nice talking to you, Andy. You bet, Roy. We'll see you soon.
There wasn't much talking between Roy and Andy, but we'll have to do a show together.
Yeah, you too, Michael Z.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
And now it's time for That's All, folks. Thank you.
That's all, folks. You are tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville. It's time for Fox News.
Where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options. Prepare a list of questions for your next doctor's visit and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Associated Press is reporting that the Prime Minister of Lebanon says the government unanimously accepted the UN ceasefire resolution to stop the fighting between Israel and Hezbollah. We'll have more on this story as it develops. In the meantime, how do you think he's doing? A new Fox News Opinion Dynamics poll is out, focusing on President Bush's job performance.
It's not all that good, American voters having their say on President Bush's job performance. Only 36% saying he's doing a decent job in the latest Fox News Opinion Dynamics poll. That's unchanged from July and down 5 points from June. Breaking down the numbers, Democrats overwhelmingly turned off by the president, 17% of Republicans and 60% of independents giving him a failing grade as well. Todd Starnes, Fox News Radio.
Word today that Venezuela's Hugo Chavez will visit Cuban President Fidel Castro. Meantime, Castro celebrates a birthday tomorrow.
Fidel Castro hasn't been seen in public since July the 26th and has not been in charge of Cuba since July the 31st, when he handed the communist crown over to his brother, Raul, prior to major surgery to stem internal bleeding. The acid test will be whether Fidel will be well enough to make a public and televised appearance for his 80th birthday. While the official Cuban newspaper Gramma says he's sitting up, walking, and working, Cuban exiles in Miami claim he's dead. So it's up to Castro to scotch the rumors and put the record straight. James Blair, Fox News Radio.
And he's one of the most famous soccer players of his generation. Now veteran English soccer star David Beckham has been dropped from the national team by coach Steve McLaren.
I spoke with David last Monday, notified him of my decision, and said that I was planning for the future, looking to change things, looking to go in a different direction, and David wasn't included within that.
Jen Harrison, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us here at AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, AM 1340 KOMY Watsonville. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather report for today, Saturday, August 12th, 2006. Today will be mostly cloudy with patches of fog in the morning, west winds around 12 miles an hour, and highs in the lower 70s. Tonight you can expect it to be mostly cloudy with some fog and west winds around 12 miles an hour and lows around 55 degrees. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with patches of fog in the morning and southwest winds up to 10 miles an hour with highs around 70 degrees. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy, fog can be expected and southwest winds up to 7 miles an hour. And again, lows will be in the mid-50s. Your Monterey Bay Boaters forecast for today, light winds becoming northwest 10 to